Georgia, but Gardner's Bay. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the ass end of Long Island. Today is the 4th of August, 2016. On this date in 1914, Germany invades Belgium, the U.S. declares war on Germany, and the U.S. declares itself neutral. 1964, the bodies of three civil rights activists are found in Mississippi. Justice was not served until 2005, when Edgar Ray Killen was found guilty of organizing the lynch mob that killed James Chaney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Schwerner. For those who don't know, Robert Reich, former Secretary of Labor and leading public thinker and speaker on inequality in America, is a very, very small guy who got bullied a bunch when he was in school in upstate New York. Michael Schwerner was a bit older and bigger and protected him. Reich has credited the murder of Schwerner with being his main motivation for his life's work. 1978, Israel bombs targets in southern Lebanon in retaliation for bombing of a market in Tel Aviv by the PLO, which was at the time located in Beirut. 1986, the United States Football League cancels its season and folds soon afterwards. The league failed largely because of poor decision-making by Donald Trump, who owned the New Jersey Generals and had a great deal of influence over the other owners. Birthdays are Louis Vuitton, Louis Armstrong, Raoul Wallenberg, Billy Bob Thornton, and Barack Obama. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. The podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. The defense minister and minister for reconciliation resigned from their posts on the 1st of August. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili appointed this week's new ministers for each post. Levan Izoria is the new defense minister, replacing Tiniko Khidasheli. Izoria has been deputy head of the state security service since August 2015. Before that, he was deputy interior minister. He was a member of the Free Democrats until they quit the Otsneva coalition in November 2014. At that point, he joined Otsneva to stay in the government. As defense minister, he promised to prioritize Euro-Atlantic integration and strengthen Georgia's defense capabilities with help from the U.S. He named two deputies, Leila Chikovani and Nukri Gelashvili. Izoria's appointment is not popular with outgoing defense minister Khidasheli. She said she does not like that someone from the security community was promoted to the position. She thinks it's part of a disturbing trend of ex-security officials getting high-ranking government positions. The trend started when Irakli Alassania was replaced as defense minister by Mindia Janelidze in 2014. Khidasheli's husband, parliamentary speaker Dato Usupashvili, also criticized Isoria's appointment. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Minister of Refugees Sosar Subadi, an extremely emotional individual, immediately hit back at Khidasheli, saying that she is just being emotional. And the new minister for reconciliation is Ketevan Tsikhelashvili, who has been the deputy minister since 2012. She promised to continue to build a constructive dialogue with the Abkhaz and with South Ossetian societies. Also related to the defense ministry, defense policy specialist Becca Kiria and the defense ministry's head of strategic communication, Mariam Takhaishvili, told media that nepotism was a big problem in the ministry under Khidasheli. Appointments were made according to handshake deals and party patronage, not merit. They claimed that Khidasheli and her allies used their power within the ministry to promote the Republican Party's interests. Constitutional court drama is getting a little bit more intense. Last week, court chairman Yurki Papuashvili, as reported, accused the authorities of putting targeted pressure on judges of the court in order to influence them to rule in favor of the government on several high-profile cases and also to drag out rulings as long as possible. This week, five of the court judges responded to the court's chairman's public declarations and accused him of trying to speed up the decision-making process and that he has not given judges enough time to properly consider politically charged cases. The politically charged cases in question are the Rustavi Ori case, the case of former Tbilisi mayor Gigi Ugulava, the Cables case involving the former minister of defense officials that were completely unfairly convicted of fiddling with tenders. They were sentenced to prison in May for allegedly misspending public money in 2013 in alleged sham tenders. The prosecutor's office is investigating Papuashvili's claims about outside pressure being put on the court. Eight judges have been interviewed, all except the chairman. All of them denied being pressured. However, judges Konstantin Vardzalashvili and Maya Kopalashvili and Kerevan Irmadze said that one of the court's nine justices is in fact being pressured. The prosecutor's office has not released any information yet. Democracy and Freedom Watch published an investigative piece on the Georgian Lottery Company using information from the Panama Papers, the company which has exclusive rights to lottery organization in Georgia, was founded in 2009 by Lexor Capital, a British Virgin Islands-based company that is registered in the name of Dimitri Chikovani. Chikovani is the brother-in-law of former National Movement Defense Minister Dato Kezadashvili. In 2012, Lexor Capital gave 70% of the company's shares free of charge to the Ministry of Economy. The Ministry of Economy also took on the lottery company's debts, which, according to the Panama Papers, is about 30 million lari. The company owed that sum to the government, which they were supposed to pay in exchange for the right to operate the lottery. Because they greatly overestimated how much revenue the lottery would bring in, they couldn't meet their obligations by transferring the company to the government. Chikovani was able to get out from under that debt. The lottery company is now jointly owned by Lexor Capital and the Ministry of Economy, and it's managed by Georgian Post. Current director Levon Chaidze said that the company has only paid about $8.4 million in fees for the right to operate the lottery. At one point, it had pledged to pay $667 million. Those licensing fees were supposed to go into the state budget. So while the lottery case has created income for the government, it has actually lost a lot of money when you consider the lost licensing fees that was supposed to be received from Lexor. If I can just comment on this whole case, the whole thing was done secretly because, as so many different things under Misha, where it was not clear that it was happening or why anybody got the licensing fees, because they wanted to have the option to be able to funnel money away somewhere, presumably for party activity, but maybe somewhere else. And so it was not done openly or transparently. If they had done it openly or transparently, they could have done it in such a way where the projections would have been much more clear, and now they're trying to figure out how to deal with it since it exists already. The hostage situation in Yerevan is over. The gunman who took over police station last month surrendered to police on the 31st of July. 20 gunmen have been arrested. They will be prosecuted as terrorists. The men call themselves the Daredevils of Sassoon. They're a nationalist group fiercely critical of the current government in Armenia. They demanded that anti-government politicians Girard Sefilian be released from prison and that President Serge Sarkisian resign. The government did not meet any of their demands, but they eventually released all of the hostages and gave themselves up. During the two-week hostage crisis, one policeman was killed, nine others were kept captive. Hostage crisis kicked off a general display of public anger at the government. Demonstrations rallied around the police station to protest against the government. Some threw stones at police officers. In total, 165 demonstrators were arrested and 75 people were injured, many of them police officers. In travel to and from Georgia, Armenia's Foreign Minister Edward Nalbandian was in Tbilisi. Head of the State Security Service, Vakhtang Gomadauri, was in Baku to meet with Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev and representatives of the Azerbaijani Security Service. They signed a memorandum of cooperation. Delegation from Jordan, including the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Education, came this week to learn about Georgia's education policies. President Mark Velashvili and First Lady Maka Chichua will attend the Olympic opening ceremonies in Rio on the 6th of August. The president will also meet with some foreign leaders there. British violinist Vanessa May will perform at the Black Sea Arena in Shekhratili on the 6th of August. Representatives from Georgia, Abkhazia, and Russia attended an Incident Prevention Response Mechanism, or IPRM, meeting in Gali on the 2nd of August. The meeting was chaired by the European Union Monitoring Mission. The sides discussed the murder of Giga Otkhozoria. Georgia is still demanding that his killer, Rashid Kanjioglu, be handed over to Georgian security services. He's under house arrest in Abkhazia. In a side note, the government is buying a house in Zugdidi and giving it to Otkhozoria's family. A referendum question on defining marriage as a union between a man and a woman collected the necessary 200,000 signatures needed for it to be put on the ballot. The question reads, quote, "Do you agree that civil marriage should be defined as the union of a man and a woman for the purpose of starting a family?" End quote. It was put forward by former Deputy Minister of Diaspora, Alexander Bregadze, former button polisher for Aslan Abashidze, who is currently in exile in Russia, former Alliance of Patriots member Soso Manjavidze, a nobody, and Zvia Tomaradze, Director of the Demographic Society 21. all agents of the Kremlin, in my view. The referendum question was approved by the Central Elections Commission, and they got the needed signature, so now it goes to the president, who has 30 days to approve or deny the referendum. If he approves, the approval of the decree will have to be countersigned by the prime minister. A petition is going around asking the president to deny the referendum. It has a whopping 100 signatures as of Thursday afternoon. As a reminder, Georgia's civil code already bans same-sex marriage, which would be an excellent reason to not allow this ridiculous referendum to go through. Parliamentary Speaker Dr. Uzubashvili said that he is first on the Republican Party's list of candidates for the October parliamentary elections. He also stands as a majoritarian candidate in one of the new Tbilisi electoral districts. Odsneba announced its candidate for Kremlo Kartli's 8 majoritarian electoral districts. The candidates for Rustavi are Georgi Begadze and Pata Mkhelidze. National Movement announced their majoritarian candidates for Kutaisi electoral districts. Gigi Tzedatelli, Georgi Tevdoradze, and Akaki Bobakhidze. Tzedatelli is currently the Vice Speaker of Parliament. Very nice guy. One of the few people who has managed to be around under Shevardnadze and Mokhtar Kavshidi in Misha's time and now. Bobakhidze is a knuckle-dragging moron. Georgian Young Lawyers Association, or GYLA, accused Misha of breaking the law by giving a video address to the public in Batumi earlier this week. They say that Georgia's pre-election law makes it illegal for a foreign citizen to participate in an election campaign, so him campaigning for the national movement is a no-no. They called on a judge of the Supreme Electoral Commission to fine him 2,000 lari. Misha responded that GYLA should focus on Georgia's bigger problems. Related news, there's an anti-national movement protest outside the party's headquarters in Batumi, which involved the burning in effigy of Misha. One of the protesters was arrested for hooliganism. Prison pardoned 226 inmates, 154 released from prison, 72 had their prison terms redacted. The president and the Pardon Commission discussed 1,564 cases in total. Man from Pankisi Gorge was arrested for making terroristic threats online. He could face a prison sentence of up to 11 years. The man posted a message on Facebook using a fake name where he threatened to commit a terrorist attack. He pleaded guilty. A body was found in the Tukvadi River by rescue workers. Authorities don't know the cause of death yet. A resident of the village of Kveshi in Chittagkartli was detained by South Ossetian border guards. The local sources say that he was on the Georgian side of the administrative boundary line when the guards came across and nabbed him, probably as a small income-generating activity. Fire at main shopping market in Zestaponi caused at least 2 million lari in property damage. Most of that damage was to goods carried by vendors. No one was injured. David Khushkivadze, who owns one of the properties in the market, accused the market's owner, Cesar Maglakelidze, of intentionally starting the fire. Maglakelidze said the same thing about Kuskivadze. They've got a long-standing feud, as happens in Zestaponi. The pro-Russian group Socialist Georgia was warned by the State Security Service not to display Soviet symbols in the public during public events. Georgia's Liberty Charter bans the public display of Soviet and Nazi symbols. The Socialist Georgia has been known to fly Soviet flags at its event. They can be fined 1,000 lari if they violated the ban again. By the way, this Liberty Charter thing is completely ridiculous and got them to get rid of the star, for example, on top of Dom Kino and a bunch of other Soviet symbols that were around that were kind of cool and an important part of Georgia's history. And they should get rid of that charter, but it would be politically unwise, I guess, for that currently to happen. Geostat reported that year-on-year GDP growth as a 3.1% was 3.1% during the second quarter of 2016, an improvement over the 2.6% growth during the first quarter. The government projects that GDP will grow by 3% in 2016 in total. National Tourism Administration announced that more than 3.4 million people visited Georgia from January through July of this year. That's a 10.6% increase from the same time last year, and 2016 is expected to set a new record for single-year arrivals. Georgia's first-ever wind farm is set to be completed in September and start operating in December. It will be located near the Gori Radio Tower and operated by Kartli Limited. It will produce 88 million kilowatt-hours of electricity per year. It costs about $34 million to build, with $24 million of that coming from the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD. and the rest coming from Georgia's Energy Development Foundation and the Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation, who are partners of Kartli Limited. The Biltmore Hotel, amazingly named after a house in North Carolina, opened on Rustavelli Avenue. It's Georgia's first ever six-star hotel, whatever that means. I don't know if they decided that they're a six-star hotel, you know, or if I can say that my guest house is an eight-star hotel. But anyway, it's in the old Emeli building. Offers a panorama view of Tbilisi. Hotel cost about $140 million to build. Most of that came from the Dahabi Group, an Emirates-based investment group. The 32-floor hotel is operated by Millennium and Capthorne Group. It has six restaurants, an indoor swimming pool, a health center. The best thing is that the horrible wooden walkway that was sitting there forever is now gone. The bad thing is that they took up a ton of sidewalk space in order to have a drive-up thing, which is completely unnecessary and a frustrating use of public, usurpation of public space. One of the investors in the Dahabi Group, Sheikh Nayan bin Mubarak Al Nayan, is also considering a $3 billion investment in Gonio on the Black Sea. The government announced in June 2015 that it was looking for investors to develop Gonio's tourism potential. China's Silk Road Investment Group will open a coat factory in Georgia. They signed a memorandum of cooperation with Georgia's Partnership Fund this week. The precise location of the factory and the number of people who will work there still needs to be decided. World Bank is loaning the government 4.3 million lari to rehabilitate the Leo Pilpani Public and Folklore Theater in Mestia. The theater has been out of commission since 1983. The rehabilitation works are scheduled to be completed in 2017. Government is launching a two-year, 6.8 million lari agricultural development program with support from the United Nations Development Program, UNDP. The program aims to introduce new technology, boosting rural incomes and reducing poverty by making Georgia's agriculture more productive. Love to see how UNDP is going to do that. Let me know if anybody hears. The government is spending about 4 million lari to rebuild Gudauri's water supply infrastructure. The new system should be online by November this year. It will ensure uninterrupted water during the summer and winter's months, which has always been a problem. The Iranian company Adik LLC is building a green village in Kakheti. It will be tourism-oriented and include a vineyard, fruit gardens, nut plantation, and an upscale hotel. They've already put about $85 million into the project. Government gave homes and agricultural plots to 95 families who left their homes because of natural disasters like landslides and earthquakes. These people are referred to as eco-migrants. Government will give property to about 100 more eco-migrant families by the end of 2016. Batumi was host to an international conference, Georgia Against Counterfeiting, in the context of the Deep and Comprehensive Free Trade Agreement. That's quite a title. Otherwise known as the GACCDCFTA conference. It focused on strategies for protecting intellectual property in Georgia and featured speakers from Romania, Italy, the United States, and China. There was not a representative of Creative Commons licensing, unfortunately. Abkhaz writer Fazil Iskander passed away on the 31st of July at his home near Moscow. He was 87 years old. He's famous for writing iconic novels about life in the Caucasus. Sculptor Zurab Tsereteli announced that he's almost finished with a 33-meter-tall statue of Jesus Christ, which he wants to have placed in Mtsheta. So far, no one in Georgia is too excited about that, so he may have to put the statue somewhere else. He's based in Moscow, where his most famous statue is located, a 98-meter-tall statue of Peter the Great. Guess who had that put there? Sumo wrestler Amiran Tsikoridze won the gold medal at the Junior World Championship in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. He defeated a Japanese wrestler in the finals. Another Georgian, Georgi Meshveldasheli, won the bronze. Three healthy lion cubs were born at the Tbilisi Zoo on the 2nd of August. The cubs are white lions, carriers of a rare recessive trait similar to albinism. Fewer than 70 zoos around the world have white lions. The Tbilisi Heritage Group met last week, based in London. They're a group of people working to preserve Tbilisi's architectural heritage, which they're planning to publish a book. The next meeting will be on the 7th of September. Contact the British Georgian Society if you're interested. Parliament's on summer recess till September. The meme this week is a video that political party Girchi, or the Pinecones, posted on their Facebook page. It shows the party's leader, Zuta Chaparidze, doing the Van Damme splits between two big rig trucks. One that has an Otsneba logo, the other has a National Movement logo, supposed to represent the party's alleged centrist stance. It's kind of a weird video, but then somehow interesting. Girchi is a bunch of former individuals, not really members of the National Movement, but kind of close to the National Movement. Unclear whether they're going to break the 5% threshold, although they are in favor of legalization of marijuana and a better drug policy, which will get them some young votes. Lincoln Mitchell's Georgia analyst has devoted the country's undecided voters. Recent poll from NDI and CRC found that more than half of voters are still undecided. Mitchell thinks that this is good and bad. Public is disillusioned with each of the main political parties, but the situation is stable enough that they don't feel they need to pick a clear side. Georgi Lomsadze writes, Eurasian Net, about President Margvelashvili's allegations that Georgian security forces are politically motivated. Also in Eurasian Net, Josh Kutsera writes about the allegations that Georgia's defense ministry is packed with unqualified individuals and that nepotism is to blame. Maya Edelashvili Bierman has a great piece in Eurasian Net about Georgian women fighting against domestic violence. More shelters are opening to help abused women. Increasing numbers of women are willing to report abuse to the police. Democracy Freedom Watch has an in-depth piece on tension between Christians and Muslims in the village of Adigeni near Akhaltsikhe. Members of the Muslim community asked for a separate burial place at the local cemetery. Some Christians saw this as a move towards Islamization of the cemetery and voted against it. The two groups clashed in February of this year. Democracy Freedom Watch also has a piece on match-fixing in Georgian football. There are at least six known cases of successful or attempted match fixing over the last 2 years. The Guardian has a heartfelt piece on the Armenian village of Movses near the border with Azerbaijan. Many homes there are in plain view of Azerbaijani snipers, and shootings are common. About 300 of the village's 2,000 some residents are expected to move to Russia this year. Foreign Policy has a good piece on Ukraine's failure to combat corruption. The country's leaders think that they are too important to fail, that the West will prop them up even if they refuse to reform the country's political and economic system. CRC released a study on how legal professionals view Georgia's judicial system. Overall, the results were pretty positive, although lawyers working in the NGO sector think that religious minorities and members of the LGBTI community are treated unfairly. Calvert Journal has a piece piece by the photographer George Niberidze. The photographer is based in Berlin but grew up in Tbilisi, and he's set to release a book of photos chronicling a year in the Tbilisi capital. They're cool photographs. Take a look. The Center for European Policy Analysis publishes a report on what Western governments can do to combat Russian propaganda. They recommend starting by tracking Russian propaganda in a systemic way, what the Kremlin is saying, where and when. Also, the government should use social media to express alternatives to Russian narratives, something that they're already doing against Daesh. New York Times Magazine features a literary piece, a love story that takes place in Tbilisi. It's a very interesting piece. Take a look. All the stuff to read, post on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 49. The percentage of Georgians with internet access as of 2014, according to the World Bank. This puts a country ahead of Armenia, Ukraine, and Moldova, but behind Russia, Belarus, and Azerbaijan. GemFest is next week in Anaklia from the 10th to the 14th of August. You can still buy tickets online at gemfest.com. Headliners are Paul Kochbrenner, Paul Van Dyke, and Fetty LeGrand. English language open mic will launch on the 24th of December in Sabertalo, starting at 8 o'clock. Check out the Facebook page, Open Mic Tbilisi, and get ready. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tblpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website, www.tblpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2001, a guy from Spain, France, all over the world, the most international artist ever to live. This is Manu Chao and Denia. Hey, Leila.
الجزائر دنيا تسكنها عينيك دنيا تسكنها الكتبة مسكينة الجزائر قلبي ضرب مني نشافك مسكينة الجزائر دنيا تسكنها الشر دنيا تسكنها الليل